Almost 2 years ago, we had Brother Rick Searles with us to present the ministry there in southern Palawan. And we have come to appreciate very much his ministry. Former Marine, pilot, and served in Vietnam, came home. He's had to battle some physical challenges as a result of Agent Orange, battles diabetes and other things. But the Lord has continued to use him in a very powerful way there in southern Palawan. He speaks the language. He knows the people. He's been involved in church planting ministries all over those islands there, as well as working on translation projects to try to get the scriptures into the language of the people there. And so we are pleased today to have Brother Rick with us again. Brother, would you come?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, thank you. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. When the pastor contacted me about coming, I was really excited, you know, because that just shows that you have been praying for us. Sometimes you go to a meeting and you get a one-time shot, so to speak, and so you don't know if they're going to continue to pray for you or not. But when the pastor contacted me, I know that you have been praying for us, and we greatly appreciate that. And so I was thinking about what the pastor said there this morning. In verse 20, the same chapter of Isaiah 45, it says, "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." Boy, there are many in America that way, aren't there? There are many in the mountains where we work that way. There are many in the barrios that way today. But the thing that we need to be mindful of as the body of Christ is what he says in verse 22. He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." You know, as a servant of God, as a missionary, being called and separated by the Spirit of God, this is the commission that God has given to me, and I trust to every missionary, is that we go out and preach the Word of God. That's what we've seen over the years that have changed lives. That's the Word of God, which brings them out of their heathen culture and out of the natural things that they do that's contrary to Scripture, and that has brought peace into their lives and has given them a hope, and that's the Word of God. That's the reason why it's important for us to get the Word of God into their language. Something about, we have the New Testament done. Last time I was telling you about it, took us 13 years to do it. It's been in circulation now for years. Now we're getting critical feedback from it. And what we're finding out is the New Testament, we have some misspelled words. It was printed in Korea, so we can't expect the Koreans to know if the word is correct or not. And so sometimes where the word salita is used, which is the word for word in Tagalog, they've left out an I, which makes it salta, and there's no such word. And so we have to go through the whole complete New Testament now and check every word to make sure they're all spelled correctly. And that's fine. We want to do that. And so we need your prayers. And when we printed the New Testament, there were only 6,000 copies made, and that was it. And so they're all distributed throughout the whole Philippines. And so now to get enough people together in one area to sit down and to take on this project is kind of logistical, a thing that we're working on right now. So I need your prayers. I'll be going over on the 21st of this month. As you know, I planned to go last February, but my shoulder held me up. I thank you for your prayers concerning that. The greatest day in our home was when I was able to reach my arm up and be able to put some deodorant underneath my arm. My wife was... Praise the Lord for that, that time finally came. Seemed like it was never going to come, but anyway, I was held up for that, and as we look back, God's timing is perfect, and so now is the time for me to go when these things are all out there so I can go and help them get organized and get this project started. And after we get that done, they'll probably start printing the New Testament. I don't know that for sure, or if they're going to wait until we get the Old Testament done, but we can't start on the old until we get the new cleaned up. So be in prayer for us for that great project, if you would. So we have a lot of good things going on there on the island of Palawan. I'm going to be sharing a lot of that with you tonight in these different outreaches and how they came about and how God's in it all. And we give him all praise and honor and glory for that. And it's a privilege to be here to share these wonderful things with you this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Let's pray and we'll begin our study this morning real quickly. Father, we thank thee for what you're going to give us today. We're thankful for your presence with us, thankful for this local church and your blessing upon it, and continue to protect them, Father, from the things of the world and how Satan's working very subtly and in areas and ways that sometimes we can be overtaken before we even recognize his workings. But we know as we stay close to thee in thy word that your word will reveal his deceptiveness and allow us to turn from that so we can walk upright with thee. Now, Father, bless our time this morning as we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's doing. There on the island of Palau, we know that he's at work around the world. He's at work here, and we thank you for it. So we're thankful that we can worship him and serve him today in Christ's name. Amen. Here in Romans chapter 16, what we find here, and I'm not going to start at verse 1 and read all the way down to verse 27. One reason is because I can't pronounce all the names. But anyway, we know that Paul mentions a lot of people. In chapter 26, matter of fact, we see Paul's praise and greetings here for these different individuals whom he came into contact with while he was at work during the work of the Lord that God had sent him to do. And we see here in chapter 16 and verse 1, he refers to some of these individuals that he talks about. He calls them servants of the church. Verse 3 calls them helpers in Christ Jesus. In verse 7, he calls them fellow prisoners. In verse 21, he calls them work fellows. So he describes them with different adjectives as to how he remembers them as they labored with him and for him in the ministry. But he wants people to know who they were. And so we have their names here, and we can be thankful for them also. That's just like in our local churches. We have many that help, and we're thankful for that. I was telling your pastor yesterday, I says, I don't know who cut your grass, but I know one thing, they have job security. Much grass you cut around here, you can't get done and not be done. You have to get done and start all over. You have to. There's so much grass that you have to cut around here. But praise God, there's someone out there doing it. If your pastor had to do it every week, you wouldn't have time to sit down and study and to pray and to bring to you what God's given to him so we can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, could we? And so Paul was saying here, hey, here's these individuals that's come alongside and has helped me, has carried me along, so to speak, by financial support, by food, whatever it would be, or just fellowshipping with him. And they're precious to me, and I want to mention them to you. And that's what he's done. And so what a privilege it is to have a list like this. And as I think about the churches that are helping the ministry there for Southern Palawan, and I can go out and probably rattle off about 20 churches, such as your church, that is helping with the ministry there. And all praise and glory to God, because it's no accident that God puts us together. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless us. He wants his ministry to go forward, and we can't do it in and of ourselves. I need your help. I need your prayers. We need that. That's what gets us to where we are in accomplishing what God's called us to do. So these persons and places here in chapter 16 are Paul's review of his past ministries and all who were used of the Lord to accomplish what God called him to do. And I think Paul was probably reminded of what was written there in 1 Corinthians 3:9, where he says, "For we are laborers together with God." And I trust you see that us working that way together this morning. We are laborers together with God. To do what? To be busy about his work. Be busy about reaching the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners need to be saved. The only way they can be saved is by hearing the word of God. And so we need to be busy about doing that together. And so what a privilege it is to be here. And the gift that you've collected to give to the work there. All praise to God. I can assure you that the people, when they find out what you have done, they're going to get on their knees and praise God for it, because they want the Word of God in their language, beloved. And so you're going to play a vital part in getting that to them. So again, I want to thank you on behalf of the believers there on Southern Palawan for your great gift that you've given. It's going to be a tremendous blessing. You know, it takes teamwork, as Paul was saying here, really in chapter 16, to accomplish what God has called us to do. We have a lot of things before us that we're confronted with, but we need your help. We need your prayers. We need your support. You know, someone said, some can go. God's not going to call all of us, is he? If he is, we're going to be in trouble. But anyway, some can go, but all can pray and all can give, can't they? And we can all be laborers together in this ministry that God has called us to do for him. It's his ministry. He wants himself known there throughout those islands. And I'm going to show you tonight, there are areas where we need foot soldiers to go up into these areas to reach these people with the gospel. I used to fly over in my Super Cub, and I could see villages in the top of the mountains, but there's no trails going into them. It'd take you days to get up there. We have a tribe up north of Matiaga, a tribal work that we have now at the foothills of the mountains, and they, from their village, they climb a day and a half to get up to another people to give them the gospel. When I was there last time, one of the tribal ladies walked out of the jungle for a day and a half with her baby and came down into the village to meet with the people for about something. But here she walked for a day and a half to get down to them. But yet they're going up with the gospel to give it to them. And the only way you can get there is to walk. No, there's no airstrips up there. I don't even know if you can even get a helicopter into them. The terrain is so rugged and so peaked, there's no very few flat places up there. But they need the gospel, don't they? And we are laborers together, and it takes teamwork to reach them with the gospel of Christ. So each one of us have an important ministry when it comes to missions. Don't think that you don't have a place in missions. You do. And your place is very, very important. You know, we know that there are needs around the world. As missionaries come, you have several in. They tell you about the needs in their countries, their areas. The needs, they're always there. They'll never go away, will they? Because we're just not able to meet all of them. But we're thankful what the Lord can do with us in order to take care of what he's asked us to do. And missions is what God has commanded for the church to do while he's away. He's coming, isn't he? And boy, if we look upon the world scene today and compare it with prophecy and what takes place during the tribulation period, and we're out of here before that, man, I'll tell you, the Lord's coming has to be near. Now, I don't know about you, but I look forward to it. I want to see my Lord and my Savior. But what I want to stand before him having been found faithful, don't you? And whatever he's asked me to do, I want to be found faithful. There's times when I feel like I want to quit. I don't have enough energy to go. But you know what? You have to put all that stuff aside and look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm his child. And I want to serve him faithfully until he calls me home. And to be received as, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just want to serve him with all that he's given to me. You know, we see here in verse 25 and 26, I just want to close out with these verses this morning. As Paul has mentioned all these co-laborers, they were very important to him. And local churches that support our ministry are very, very important to us. We cherish your fellowship. We cherish your help in the ministry. And without you, we wouldn't be where that we are. As you'll see in the slide presentation, how that from monies from local churches here in the States that's gone over to help the different works. Up in Tatundian, we had water problems, and now we have a water system up there. We had to tear one water system out because the village was being threatened from the other villages to poison the water. So we had to move some water lines around and different things. So there are the oppositions out there, beloved. But praise God for faithful local churches such as yourself that give to missions, so when needs arise like that, the finances are there that we can go and help these people have what is necessary, and that's water. You talked about water this morning. That's what you did. My brother did. Talk about water. It's hard for us to hold up people in an area if they don't have water. They're going to go to where there's water. I'm going to show you a PowerPoint picture of a little baby, just first time he's ever opened a water faucet up in her village. Hard to believe in our time and age, isn't it? But it's all been made possible because of local churches like yours who pray and give. And we thank you for it. We really do. And here in verse 25, as Paul closes out this great book of Romans, he says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ our Lord." I mean, Jesus Christ forever. Man, what a way to close out an epistle. The importance of the scriptures. The importance of taking the gospel into areas sometimes where they've never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at times into areas where the Catholics have gone and have corrupted the people and polluted them with their doctrines. What a privilege it is to take the truth of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ to these people so they can hear the truth and have an opportunity to be saved from their sin. Many people think they're saved today, don't they? They think God's got a scale up there, and when they die, their good works are going to outweigh their bad works, and God's going to receive them and let them enter into heaven. My Bible doesn't say that. Does yours? There's only one way into heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And any other message given to any people other than that is a corrupt message, deceiving people, leading them to a crisis eternity. The things that we've been able to see through the power of the gospel, it just it staggers you sometimes. Sometimes you come home and work with these people, and that you just come home and just pull your hair out. You know, I don't have much, but I pull it out anyway, and just think, there's no hope. That's because we're looking to ourselves. We're not looking to the power of God. Unless the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God, there's not a thing we can do, beloved. So, but we are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, aren't we? We just need to stay faithful with that, not get distracted with the cons of it all and the pressures of it all and the hazards of it all, but yet just preach the truth and leave the results to the Lord. That's what we're going to be rewarded for. And so what a privilege it is to take the gospel, as Paul says here, "Now to him that is of power." So tonight I want to kind of share with you three attributes of God that's helped me and has helped our work in the Philippines to stay where it is today. Because we lose sight of these. I know there's different, more than three attributes of God, you know that, but these three have helped us more than the rest, in a sense of keeping us focused where we need to be and continuing on to do the work of the ministry. Here just recently we had a tremendous trial come up, and it almost cost us the ministry there on the island of Palawan. I'm telling you, the devil's at work. You can't let down your guard one moment. Same thing is true here in the States. You give him an inch and he'll take a mile, won't he? But yet God is faithful. It's his ministry. And that's what Paul says. And that's where, how he closes it out. He introduces us to all these people, but he says, "Now to him that is a power, all praise and honor and glory to God." And that's where it all needs to be, shouldn't it? We need to be speaking of him, exalting him. The lives that we've been able to see change, witch doctors saved, drunkards saved, and situations made straight that were so crooked that no one could straighten them out except the Lord, and he did that. But what a privilege it is to go and to preach him, as Paul talks about this here. He says, "Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel." Of course, that word "establish" has to do with being strengthened. You know, there's strength in the gospel. You know, as I got to thinking about that, the strength there, you know, when people get saved as a result of receiving Christ as their Savior from their sin, I don't know about you, but as I reflect back to my life so many years ago after I got saved, you know, I finally was given some sense. Before I was saved, I did foolish things all the time. I still do every once in a while, but I didn't have my sanity to me. And I didn't realize that until after I got saved and was able to see things according to the truth of God's Word. Prior to that, I couldn't see that. I didn't understand that. All I understood is what the world presented in and what they wanted to follow, what they thought was success. That's all I could see and understand because that's where I was. I did not have the Holy Spirit because I wasn't saved. But after I got saved, then I had, the Lord says that when we have Christ, then we can have His mind, can't we? Then we can begin to understand spiritual things, things that are pure and holy and just, where before I couldn't. So when we see these individuals there in the mountains who are worshiping trees and rocks and all kind of crazy things after they get saved, man, they become sound in their mind. They begin to look into God. And I shared a few testimonies with the pastor last night. In some of the villages we go to, the young men that go to and preach there every Sunday, it's just oral communication because we don't have a copy of God's Word in their language. And so sometimes you wonder, what are they getting? I mean, well, what would be a good day to them? They don't have a payday. You know, paydays, usually everybody's really happy, you know. Can't wait to get it cash and spend it. And then sweat it out for the next 2 weeks for the next paycheck. But they don't have that. So you get thinking, I wonder what puts joy in there. What makes them happy? So I was telling the pastor, I asked him for some testimonies. And one lady stood up and she said, Pastor Searle, she says, I thank God for saving me. He gave me eternal life. And I thank Him for that. She said, last month my children were sick. We have no money. We don't have any medicines. So I got on my knees and I began to pray to our God. And I asked Him for help. I said, God, I need wisdom. My children are dying with bronchial and problems and pneumonia. And if you don't help us, they're going to die. But she just communicated with God in a very special way. And she said, you know, Pastor, when I get up off my knees, the Lord reminded me of some things that we have in the jungle that I went and got and gave to my children, and God raised them up. I thought, what a testimony. Having a relationship with God to the point where you can just get before Him, pour out your heart, and trust Him. Beloved, a lot of times that's missing in our lives. We are so busy, so involved with so many things. I'll just go to the doctor. He has the answer. She has the answer. But I'm telling you, they don't always have the answers, do they? They are still practicing medicine. But we have God. And if His will to heal, He can do that. If He wants to use medical doctors, He can do that also. But to be able to have a relationship, even though you don't have God's Word, with God, and to know that He's real and that He loves you, He loves your children, and He wants what's best for us. He's for us. He's not against us, is He? But all that has come about in her mind, in her relationship with Christ, because of the Word of God. And that's our emphasis. Our whole desire is to get them the Word of God and to give them the gospel so they can become saved. And that's what He says here. Now to Him that has the power to establish you or strengthen you, what? According to my gospel. Man, the gospel gives us hope, doesn't it? You know what? We're up here in the mountains. We get the fellowship. And you know what? You know what they say? I can't wait till the Lord Jesus comes. I'm thinking, well, praise the Lord. I can't either. But they don't have everything that we have. But you know what? They're up there on their knees praising God for changing them from what they were. And the fears that they were under, beloved, when they would walk down the trail and they came up to a balate tree, they would bow down, they'd worship that tree. And they'd ask the spirits not to curse them as they would get close to that tree. They lived in fear all the time. But now that they're saved, guess what? God hadn't given the spirit of fear, has He? Of love and power and of what? Of a sound mind. Boy, we've seen their lives changed. Now they desire to please God. And what a blessing that is. Man, the gospel gives us hope. It gives us peace, doesn't it? They don't the things that they do day in and day out, it just physically wears you out. But God is being good, and God's supplying their needs. We're getting water systems to them. We're helping in the areas of more teaching to them, areas of hygienes, things that they didn't know enough about in order to protect themselves from diseases and things that were crippling them and taking their lives early. But man, praise God for the gospel. It brings stability, as Paul talks about here. And not only that, he says, the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. God says he's manifested his word today. How? Through preaching. Through preaching. What a privilege it is to go out and to take the book. Take God's word to a people and give it to them, and let the Holy Spirit take this word and change their lives. Give them a hope. As Paul talks about here, through the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Hey, Christ has come, hasn't he? He's been here. He's gone. He's finished his work. And he's coming again, isn't he? He's coming. And you know what? They're looking for his coming. We have a people on the island I'll show you tonight. We close at 12. 1. I got 1 o'clock, brother. We're over, so you just hang on. The thing I was disappointed about this morning, I got up to come to church. Was anybody here? I forgot you're an hour behind us, so I came. I was here early. No one to preach to. But we have an area down south I'll show you tonight. It's called Tres Marias. It's a mountain region down there called the Three Marys. I used to fly over it quite a bit. There are some deformed Palawanos in there that we've been told about. And we have people in our church in Brooks Point who the Spirit of God is burdened to go down into that area and try to make contact with them so we can begin to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an island south of us called Bulubac. It's a 4-hour trip from Brooks Point down to Rio Tuba. It's another 4.5-hour trip by Banca down to Bulubac. Hard trip down there. We are told that there are some believers on that island. They've been making contact with other people. They contacted us, and they want us to come down to them and start a work down there. But right now, we don't have anybody to send to them. Did a survey work up on the west side of the island. I'll show you later this evening. A little village called up in a town called Rizal. Went up there and met with one of our young men who's a Palawano. They're Palawano. Went up and met with them and asked them about the possibility of coming up and starting a Bible study with them. And I left, and two weeks later, they wrote back and said, yes, come on up and start a Bible study. We'd like for you to do that. So this young Palawano went up there and worked with them about 2 or 3 months, just once a week. And after a while, we couldn't send him up anymore because he needed to be up at Kabangaan, a work up there that we're getting ready to. It's very close to being indigenous, and that's what we want to do now, get it indigenous along with one other work so we can take 2 workers and go to these 2 other areas. But we hadn't been back to Rizal for a while, and we got a letter from them, and the letter said this. It said, will we have to die before you come and give us the word of God? And what would you do with that? Breaks your heart, doesn't it? And I'll show you those people tonight. But we need to pray. But we are getting so many opportunities. The Lord is working in such a mighty way through your prayers and the prayers of other churches that we just can't make ourselves too thin because we can't get the works accomplished that need to be done the way that needs to be done so we can move off the station and get off into another one. So please pray for us in these areas. But then Paul says this in verse 26, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of the faith. The word of God. Getting the word of God out. That's what changes lives, beloved. Taking this precious book, giving it to the people, let the Holy Spirit use it, and let him change lives. And boy, does he ever change lives. He changed mine. Did he change yours? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved, but yet you've been witnessed to. You know that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He gave his life for you. And he wants to save you. And maybe you know that this morning, but you've never really accepted him or received him as your Savior from your sin. Well, we invite you to do that this morning. You know, you can do it right where you're standing or whatever and ask the Lord to save you. said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for my sins, and I want to receive you as my Savior from my sin so I can be given eternal life. If you do that, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. Man, what a position to be in, a child of God. Knowing that when you take your last breath, you're going to go home to be with him. Have you ever made that decision? If not, we invite you to do that this morning. Maybe you're here. I know so many years ago in a mission conference, the Lord spoke to me about just surrendering my life to him. I didn't know what he had for me. At the time, I'd just been newly saved. I couldn't even spell missionary. I didn't even know there was one. And as I look back over the last 30-some years, man, what a privilege it's been to serve the Lord. I'm glad I didn't say no. May the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning about giving your life. Just give your life to him. He knows what he wants to do with it. Do not hinder yourself nor the Spirit working in your life by just saying, no, I don't want anything to do with that. But yet maybe it's God's working in your heart saying, hey, trust me. Just follow me. Will you do that this morning? The invitation is twofold this morning. If you're here without Christ, we invite you to come receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you just want to just serve the Lord. You don't know how, when, or where, but God does. You just want to just surrender yourself. Come. We want to have prayer with you and encourage you to keep on taking one step at a time every day to serve the Lord.